Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. And this week, we've got a guy on that we've been bouncing back and forth for a while. We actually both ran Blackbeard's Revenge together in 2022. We had the same coach, Danny Filipek, so shout out to Danny. But I finally connected with this guy, and I'm so excited to have him on as a guest. So without further ado, let's welcome in Mr. Tommy Dobson.
Tommy, thank you. Ready to go thank for you, run? Mike. Absolutely.
Awesome, man. You're always ready to go for a run, aren't you?
Yes.
But that hasn't always been the way, and we're going to get into that in a second. So first, kind of start out, tell us a little bit about who is Tommy, and let us know, you know, what you do, who you are, what your family is, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So again, I'm Tommy Dobson. I am just turned 56 in July. I am married to my wife, Sharon, of 22 years in September. We have a son, Zach, who is 20, who is just dropped off for his junior year at Shenandoah University in Winchester, Virginia. And I have my daughter, Jenna, who is 17, who is entering her senior year in high school.
We
are a tight group of four. I was born and raised in southern Anne Arundel County, a little place called Deal, Maryland. Back then, it was really a fishing place. It was bay fishing through Rockhold Creek and the Chesapeake Bay. And in 2005, me and my wife made a 5-mile trip south to Calvert County, Maryland, where we live now. And we like it. We see the growth. Everything is good. We made a 5-mile trip over the weekend back to Deal. There was a new restaurant that opened, and it was probably 10 years since I had been in Deal. Five miles, but probably about 10 years. So I was reminiscing, riding down the streets, telling my now 20-year-old of some of the mischief we used to get into.
That is awesome. So where is this in Maryland? Is this on the Eastern Shore?
Unfortunately, no. I am what they would call a Western Shore person by my okay. Eastern Shore friends. Where I am located now, we are on the Chesapeake Bay, but I am really, to give you 2 points, I am in the middle of between Annapolis and Solomons, Maryland.
Okay. All right. Now I know where you are. Wow. Okay, yeah. Cool. I did not realize there were such, are these like little towns up there?
Yeah, they're real small towns. Back probably 15 years ago in Deal, we had one light, and that wasn't even a traffic light. It was just a blinking light. So they're real small. My family was, you know, they go back deep into Deal, Maryland, and you know, we either were farmers or we were watermen, and sometimes we were both.
Wow. That's amazing. So how many generations can you trace your family back in Deal?
I can go back 3. Great-great-grandfather, he was a Moreland. He started off as a Moreland, and then they went through Deal and Tracy's Landing.
Oh, wow.
And then the Moreland name came through with the Dobsons. I've got it through ancestors. Well, another thing I did during COVID, just kind of tracked it down. Because like I said, the family has really spread out. Like I have a sister that lives probably about 20 miles south. But yeah, Deal was really fishing or farming. And like I said, sometimes you did both. My father was a twin, and my father went the construction route. I remember them talking. He was a union construction worker in D.C.
Wow.
And my uncle, who was the other twin, was a farmer fisherman in Deal and Tracy's, and that's all they had at that time.
Wow. And so now, I know you're retired now, but what did you do before you retired?
Framing for construction work for probably about 3 years out of high school. And then I was lucky enough, I was doing construction and had a guy ask me about, you know, do I want to come work at a place called Pepco? At that time, it was Potomac Electric Power Company. So I went and applied to that, started in 91 and just finished my first year of retirement. But I did 32 years working in Washington, D.C. as a underground high voltage splicer.
Oh my gosh, that is that's so funny because I've been in the electrical industry since I got out of the Navy, and I remember a high voltage splicer, who was at Norfolk Naval Shipyard, I think Newport News Shipbuilding. His name was Pinky, and he used to tell me some stories. Oh my goodness, you guys are crazy.
Well, and it's one of them things where I always joke around, there was always feuding between overhead and underground, and we always said that they always teased us that the underground were people that just were scared of heights. But it was a, it was a good career. It's still a good career, and I was fortunate, not fortunate. I was a victim of a hiring freeze. So
Okay.
when I came in and got out of the school gang at the start of 92, they, it was me and five other people, and they had not hired in about 5 years. So, they were looking at us like fresh meat. And they, while they used and abused us, we got a ton of knowledge and a ton of skill.
Wow.
So we went up the ranks quick. But yeah, it was tough. Like the first probably 10 years of my marriage, it didn't matter if it was Friday, it didn't matter if it was Saturday. I mean, I averaged for 10 years probably close to 1200 to 1500 hours of overtime.
Wow,
You know,
that's crazy.
there were days where, you'd get in at 7:30 and get off at 4, and you'd be back at 10 that night and do another 16.
Wow, that's crazy. Man, I'll bet you miss it, don't you?
You know what? I've always tell everybody I miss the camaraderie of working with everybody. That's really about it is. And it's been a this as I'm really glad I'm retired. I'm fortunate, and I'm very fortunate, and I think about that every day. But I will say I do miss sometimes the interaction with people.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's talk some running since, that's kind of what we do. Now,
Yep.
Tommy, you're like me. You're one of those really sleek, fast runners, right?
Oh,
Yeah. So
I
the thing I love about Tommy, he and I are both trucks. So we were not blessed with the svelte body. We have a somewhat larger bodied frame, but we still managed to get it done. So, Tommy, tell us,
Yes.
how did you get into running and when did all this craziness start?
First, I want to just say, I was kind of nervous when you asked me to be on because I hear your guests and I'm like, I'm just me. I'm not one of these guys that goes out and kills it. But I remember hearing you talk about, everybody's got this story, and I think mine is pretty cool, and I hope people can relate to it. So, probably in 2014, whether my wife was making sure that our life insurance was good or planning ulterior motives, I was 310 pounds.
Wow.
So it was time to, re-up with State Farm for life insurance. So of course, we did the 24-hour fast and all that. And, at 310 pounds, the blood work came back as pretty much you would expect it to come back.
Right.
So I went for that, for the meeting of that with my family care doctor. But unfortunately, I'm friends with my family care doctor. We know each other through the county. We've, had school together. And, she came through the door and, shut the door and made sure I was alone and told me I was a great father. She sees everything on social media and she's, hearing about this, hearing about that. And basically she said, you probably tell your kids you're going to be there forever. And I said, yeah, I do. I'm a good father. I try to be a good father. Mike, she didn't blink. She didn't miss a beat. She looked me right in the eye and she said, why are you lying to them?
Wow, are you serious?
Oh yes. Yeah. Like I said, it's, they say sometimes the truth hurts, and that one got me angry, but it hurt.
Right.
I left out of the doctors, and I called my wife, and I was like, you wouldn't believe what she said to me, this and that, and this and that. And Sharon just sat there, and she knows what's going to happen. So
Right.
I got home that evening, and I said, I'm going to go run a mile. And why I picked running a mile, I have no idea, but I did. So the next morning, I went to our local gym. I remember getting on the treadmill, learning how to turn the treadmill on,
There you
and
go. That's important.
I made it 0.17. That was it. Got off, looked around, walked around, got back on the treadmill, walked a little bit, didn't even try to run again. Just walked for about maybe 5 more minutes. And I went home and I was angry and I was mad. I went back the next day, the next day, the next day. And then finally, I remember hitting a mile. I remember hitting 3 miles. And then I remember for some reason this 5K. What is a 5K? So I went back the next day and I ran 3.1, my first 5K. So I just kept going back, kept doing this. Luckily, while I was big, I was athletic. Growing up, I could always do everything. Some things I could do better, baseball, football, stuff like that, I was really good at. But running to me kind of felt good. It was like, okay, this is good. I know I don't look like everybody. I definitely don't sound like everybody. But I went to that treadmill at least 5 days a week. And I got to the point where the staff, they finally came to me and was like, look, we don't mind you being on this for longer than the 60 minutes, but we're going to need you to move down out of the way. So, I did that for a while. And then through youth sports, a friend of mine, him and his wife, I could see them. They would run on the roads every day, or not every day, but I would see them from time to time. So I reached out to him and was like, hey man, I've been running for a while. I want to try to go outside. And by no means is he an expert, and he laughs about the story all the time. He was like, well, I don't know. He said, I would imagine you're just going to feel worse because the treadmill's really easy. And I was so green, I didn't know anything. I was like, okay, that makes sense. So I didn't want to quite ask them to run with me yet. So I went down to where I live, and I went, got out of my truck, got my shoes on that I was good. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for 30 minutes. Like I got to about 3/4 of a mile, and my kneecaps felt like there was glass behind
Oh
them.
my gosh.
So then I had to learn, I had basically learned to run with gravity. I'd been on a treadmill for so long that, man, that treadmill, some days if I didn't have my running shoes with me, if I just had workout shoes, I could still get on the treadmill. So I started that progression over again. And, this time, it took a little bit longer. The weight came off, which made it easier. But the year was, what was it, 2015. So my blood work was, no, my blood work was February of 2014. I did a 5K outside. I did a 10K. I basically climbed the ladder. And in 2015, I ran my first half marathon in St. Michael's, Maryland. And then in o October of 2015, I ran my first full marathon, the Marine Corps Marathon. And then I fell in love with running. I fell in love with marathon. I knew nothing about ultras, nothing whatsoever. I never heard of them. I just knew marathon, half marathon, marathon. That's all it did. So I did a ton of marathons. Just, we were cranking them out. Just, wherever we would go, I'd run. And then my son did cross country his 4 years of high school. And his cross country coach would always see me running and is like, hey, you should go run an ultra. And I was like, what's that? And he explained it to me. So I did some research and I started my quest on running longer than 26.2. And my first one was 2017. I did a fr It was called the Frozen Heart 50K, and it was in St. Mary's County, Maryland. Basically, 10-mile loops around a lake in February.
That's a great
And
choice for
I'm,
a first ultra. Loops is perfect.
oh yeah. Yeah. And like I said, at this point, I didn't know anything. I was like, all right, this is cool. And I remember it because I finished it pretty quick. And like I said, I'm a big guy. I'm 6 foot. And even today, I am very comfortable, but I'm 230 pounds. I am a big guy. I've been, and I think in 2015, the lowest I got was 200, and I just didn't feel good. I just didn't feel right. So
Right.
I go from 220 to 230. I think I got on the scale this morning. I'm 228, but I
Okay.
feel good.
That's awesome.
I feel healthy.
And you're doing
So
some amazing things. I mean, for somebody who's just started into ultras in 2017, I mean, you've done a ton of ultras, man.
yeah, and it's funny because I've tried working my way up, and the ultras are so hard. Like I read books and I listen to people, and I'm like, the thing about these shorter races is sometimes you can make it by if things go wrong. You get up in those ultra distance, and whether it's an internal thing, your stomach, whatever, sometimes it's out of your control. My first 100 was the Blackbeard in 2022,
Yep.
and training has never been an issue to me. I have probably in 2019, I had a 6 month string of detached retinas, and
Oh, wow.
one of them was 2 weeks before what was supposed to be my first 100. So it's like, all right, what's going on here? So it's one of the ones where, had health been on my side, I probably would have a little bit better resume, but it's going to take me a little bit of time, and I'm still learning. And I know that, even at 56, I'm just getting started with this thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but
And I
you've got a
think,
JFK 50 finish, right?
yep, JFK 50, the Damn Yeti 50. The Blackbeard 100, and one of my favorite 50Ks is the Algonquin over in Pocomoke City, Maryland.
Okay.
I've done that one like four times. This year should be my fifth.
It's awesome.
So yeah. So it's one of them things where, and I think we had talked when I mentioned before, like the last time we had talked, probably about 5 years ago, I got diagnosed with, anxiety disorder, like to the point, and I've never had it before. It's kind of strange, and we're still trying to piece together what causes it or what's brought it full circle to me. But there are times where I think I've told you in the past, I'll drop out of a race 36 hours before it starts because I don't think I'm good enough to do it.
Right.
It's one of them things where we think we've narrowed it down to like about 5 or 6 years ago. 'Cause at my work, I used to give presentations to different people. They would take, I would either go to Eastern Shore sometimes, and I was really, really good at it. And I started, no, that's when I really first started noticing it was I'd have a presentation to give. And like if it was on a Wednesday or Thursday, Monday night would probably be the last night I would sleep.
Wow.
Just tear myself up. And I thought with retiring, it worked out Murphy's Law. Normally it does come out, but it was one of them ones where I was supposed to retire later. I ended up having to retire early. And because I liked my job, I really did, but I had to get out, I had to leave early or I was going to have to go another cycle. And I really didn't want to do that.
Right.
So, it's one of them things where my first year of retirement, I really had to stay busy
Okay.
to the point of, if my wife would see me sitting around the house not doing something. And as much as I want to, I can't run all day every day. I gotta, it's one of them ones where running gives me some peace. It kind of blocks out the noise. But yeah, I really do struggle with that. And, it's one of them ones where I can't be the only one that has these feelings,
No, you are not, Tommy. And that's why I'm glad you're opening up about it, because so many people have these feelings, but they're not willing to at least share them. And putting it out there, Tommy, is going to be one of the biggest things that's going to help you overcome this. So yeah, I'm glad you're talking about it. This is awesome.
Yeah, and that's the same doctor that was mean to me. I just, she's worked with me, and she's told me, make yourself uncomfortable. And I've heard that mantra in running, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I try to do that, and that's really right now, my full focus right now is Swami Shuffle, because I need that on the calendar and I need to be uncomfortable.
Well, I will tell you, Swami Shuffle, you're not dropping. So, if I gotta
No.
drag you kicking and screaming to the start line, you're gonna be on the start line.
Oh yeah, and that's the crazy thing about this, Mike. It's if I can get to the start line, everything goes away. It's just leading up to it.
Well, that's why, that week leading up to it, you and I are going to be on the phone nightly, and
Oh
we're going to be
yeah, I look
talking.
forward to it.
Yeah, because
Absolutely.
dude, I am so excited about you running Swami. So tell us, how did you find out about Swami, and what made you want to sign up?
I first found out about it through Ultra Sign Up. You know how they have the headers up top? You go in, I've seen that. And I had seen about it, and it was one of them ones where I was going to sign up last year. And, I had that, I'm just coming off of retirement. I got a lot of, my wife has made me quite a long honey-do list at the house. So I want to try to get all that done. And then where I really started learning about it was through your podcast, through your multiple runnings of it. So I would listen to it, and it's funny when I hear you describe it. I have friends that live from Southern Shores to Manio, and I have family that lives in Collington Harbor. So
How awesome.
I have run every mile of that course, except for the first 22 and the last 22.
Well, and those
So,
that's the most fun. So, just save that for
that's what
the
I'm hearing.
day.
Yeah. We have
Never a
my,
dull moment.
me and my wife have been going down there for 20 some, 20, 19 years, 19, 18 years. I've been going down there for 30. We used to go down there fishing.
Okay.
But literally, when I tell you, I have run every bit of that. Oh, I did it one time all at once, and years of vacation and visiting friends, just getting out to run. I was like, you know what? I really like this concept of the multiple day thing. To me, with my anxiety, it takes some of the stress off, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
That 24 to 30 hour 100 miler is a lot of mental stress for me right now. I'm gonna get back to that, but right now these multiple day ones are really, really intriguing me, and I can't wait to run it in a place that I love.
Well, and it's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited that you got signed up for it this year, because I just think this year is going to be a special year, and I don't know why. I just been the way I've been thinking about Swami and everything, it's like 2025 is going to be a really special year, because the crew that's out coming out for Swami Shuffle 2025, I mean, I'm just really excited to just watch and see what happens, because we've got some returning veterans, but we got a lot of new people that this is a big thing for them. And the reason why is huge. So I'm excited you're in it, man. And like I said, I'm definitely going to be on the phone with you that whole week going into Swami, making sure that you get your butt down here.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate that. I really do. But I can tell you, it is circled. It is my primary goal right now. Everything that I'm doing now is leading to that.
Okay, so let's talk about your training approach as you're looking at Swami. What are some things that you're working on?
One thing that truly that I am really doing good at it is I'm learning what an easy pace is. I still struggle sometimes with an easy day being just an easy day. I feel like sometimes I look at numbers too much, and everybody says they don't care about pace, and to some point that is true, but some days you want better from yourself, not for anybody else, but for yourself. So I'm truly learning that my pace is my pace. So that's going to help me. I am finally, I can honestly say this, I am finally able to eat while running.
No way.
That's been one of my biggest setbacks of being able to eat while out here for, 10, 12, 14 hours. I've always had issues with it to where, it was either going to be liquid calories or most likely it was going to come right back up.
Yep.
So I've learned how to eat. I mean, there's some days, that we go out on the weekends and I'll run, 15, 20 miles and I'm mashing food up just because I know I can do it now.
Cool, cool. So
I'm learning
what are some
how.
of the foods that you're learning are able to stay down with you right now?
Solid food. My go-to is the Uncrustable, the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They have got to be my favorite thing right now. And for some reason, if there is bacon, I'm gonna grab bacon and I'm gonna enjoy every bit of that bacon.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, I definitely have no problems with the sugary stuff. I'm a scratch guy. I believe you're a scratch guy. I know, so I like the scratch products with the gels, but I've struggled so much with eating that, I got a good running friend named Mike that I started out, the guy I made the phone call to in 2015. He always made fun of me and he ran Blackbeard with me. And
Okay.
his sole job was to make sure I was eating. It
Oh
was
my gosh.
crazy. He's done quite a few 100. So he picked the one. He said, I will be there. We made an agreement. It was our ride or die. We would stay together the entire time. But yeah, it was to the point we were going through Rodanthe and he was like, did you eat? I'm like, yeah, I've already ate it. He said, you didn't throw it away. I said, no, I ate it. So I was literally like 5 years old watching me. We're walking down the road and he's watching me eat to make sure I wasn't throwing it away.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. I could totally picture that too. So, you know what is funny? I was looking at my Blackbeard's time and yours, and you only finished like 30 minutes after me.
Yeah, we were pretty much in sight the whole time. Matter of fact, my wife knows because at some point between Rodanthe and Frisco, she said, I've met this really nice lady. Well, it came to come to find out it was your wife.
That's awesome.
So
That is
that's
so
how, yeah,
awesome.
that's how close we were. We were literally at the same aid stations together because that race gets strung out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's sometimes you're a lonely person out there.
Yeah. I remember doing Desolation Alley and just thinking, my God, is there anybody else awake at this time? Yeah. I was just like, where is that damn bridge? I know it's got to be coming up because that was the old bridge before Jug Handle opened. And I
Yes,
was
we
like,
just missed it.
it's got to be someplace out here. And my pacer's like, would you stop already? I was like, what? And he's like, it'll be here when it's here. So it
Yes.
was so funny. Yeah,
Yes.
that's just, and and I keep on going back for more. So this will be my fourth time, yeah, going back and doing
That
that
is
entire
incredible.
course. So, yeah, and well, I guess fifth time because I actually paced somebody from the bridge into the finish line.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that was must have been 2023. Yeah, it was 2023. So, yeah, his pacers ran a marathon the week before and decided that they didn't want to pace him. And so I was like, look, man, I'll come down, I'll pace you. I can throw, 20, 30 miles in. But he was struggling at the bridge. And so I said, you know what? Let me just pick you up at the bridge and I'll take you for as long as you need me. And it turned out it was, the last 50 miles. So not a big deal.
That's good. That's what we do, right?
That's what we do. That's what I love about the Elf running world. I mean, you do what it is, you're there to help other people. It's funny. I think I've said this on some of the podcasts. When you fall into the me versus me, you're a lot more likely to help everybody around you succeed also.
I
So.
agree. Yeah, because it's one of them things where, like I said, I would go out, I think back when I first started, there were, I knew I was going to be the last one. I knew it was going to suck the entire time, but I knew that there's something to this. And, to me, that's what the ultra is. It's a test, and you can prepare, you can do everything you want to get there, but it's a long time between the start and the finish, and a lot of things can happen.
And you just got to learn how to adapt. I mean, that's
You
the
yeah.
somebody asked me, after I finished 6 days, they said, so what was the secret to finish in 6 days? And I just said, adapting every single day, adapting to whatever was thrown at you in that day, and then getting up and doing it again. And
Yes.
honestly, Tommy, that's what Swami is going to be. It's learning how to go, okay. Well, the beach was a blast. All right. Let's see what the pavement's like, and adapting to that. And then, getting the feel for the pavement and saying, okay, I need to eat something, man. And adapting to whatever is open and available for you to eat. So it's gonna be good. So let's go with some details that, for Swami's. What kind of pack are you gonna wear?
I'm in between. I looked at the Ozark right now. I'm looking at that, but I'm kind of an ultimate direction guy, so I'm kind of in between right now. I think when I did talk to you the one time, I think I was looking at a pack that was probably way too big. So I'm kind of looking at the ultimate direction, the mountain vest right now. I haven't pulled a trigger on anything yet because I still have my ultimate direction ultra vest, which is good, and it might actually be enough. So once I have Pemberton 24 coming up in what, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. So I'll probably toy around while I'm doing that and kind of see what works and kind of pack in. Because I believe you told me, if I'm not mistaken, you said you got your pack down to like 8 pounds or 7 pounds.
About 8.5 pounds, not counting water and soft flask.
Okay, yeah. So see, and that's the other thing. I've never run with a bladder in the back, but I know that that
You're gonna
bladder's
want it
got to
for the
be
sand.
there. Yeah, so I'm definitely gonna have to learn how to run with a. I've always had bottles up front. So that's gonna be one that we're, from now until then, when I do the long runs, I'm gonna have to use a bladder to get used to it.
Okay, when you're at Pemberton, look for Thomas DiStefano.
Okay.
Right, so he'll be at Pemberton. He ran Swami's last year, and he's in Swami's next year, and he's my favorite to win it all.
Okay, I will seek
So,
him out.
yeah. So seek out Thomas DiStefano, and just chew the fat with him. He's an amazing guy. You're gonna love him.
Yeah, that's what I like about that, this Pemberton. It's kind of like a junior backyard. It's,
Right.
5K every hour on the hour, and
Yep.
it's kind of fun. I did it 2 or 3 years ago. I remember because I think I broke 66 miles. It was the first time I
Wow.
broke 66 miles, so
Okay.
I do know that, it's kind of fun. That was one of them ones where sometimes being slow is a good thing, because that 15,
You don't
20
have
minutes
as
of
much time
sitting,
to recover.
that 15, 20 minutes of sitting around starts to bite you a little bit.
It does, man. Especially those of us who have a wee bit too much energy, right, Tommy?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
please don't make me stand around. So, not going to work very well. All right, so crude or uncrewed?
I am going uncrewed,
All right. All right.
and I've had a couple reasons for that, and one, having a crew kind of irritates my anxiety because I start worrying about the crew.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I know, like I said, I have friends and family from Southern Shores to Manio. If I get in trouble, I can probably call for an SOS to get something delivered,
Yeah. All right, so
But
sleep areas, are you gonna Just sleep where you lay your head, or are you gonna plan on getting room, or what's the plan right now?
Plan A would be to make it to rooms.
Okay.
Plan B and C would be, whether it's campgrounds, post office, whatever I need to seek shelter, whether it be for rest or for weather,
Yeah. Because
So
there's been weather both years I've run it, so.
fortunately for me, you might remind me later if it goes bad. I'm very familiar with the southern end, so
Yeah.
I know the real estate down there pretty good, so hopefully I can use it to my advantage. We'll see.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, so Salvo, there's actually a house that somebody who knows about the race and what we're raising money for loans us the use of the house. So in Salvo, there's a house. In Avon, there the post office is lovely. It's almost heated. It feels like it's heated. I don't think it is, but and muffins
Okay.
and scones and Avon is a must stop.
Yes, the big purple building.
Yes. It's only open 6:30 to like noon. So, you gotta kind of be strategic about planning your muffins and scone stop. And no, muffins and scones is not a sponsor of the show, but I love them. So,
They are good.
yeah.
I think when you were talking about it, I was like, I know exactly where that is. And then me and my
Yep.
brother went down like 2 weeks later for fishing, and I was like, oh, we got to go back. So maybe they should sponsor you, Mike.
Maybe they should. Maybe I should contact them and say, I mention you every time I talk about Swami Shuffle.
Yeah, there
There you
you
go. Just
go.
feed me some food. I don't need money or anything like that. Just feed me some food. So
That's right.
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and I'm very familiar with Liberty Gas Station. I'm very familiar with that. So,
Yeah, I was very disappointed this year. Every time I hit Liberty, the grill was closed. So I did not get my world famous gourmet grilled cheese sandwich this year.
that's it. Isn't it really cool when you think about it? When I was running marathons, I had a pace chart. Now
Yep.
with these races, we have a restaurant and basically refueling stations.
Exactly. The 7-Eleven before you head out of Neg's Head is open
Yep.
24/7, and they got everything under the sun,
Yes. Yep.
in
Yeah. I, you know what?
including
I
batteries.
believe I hit that for Blackbeard because I had just run low on fluids. Knowing
Okay.
that Jeanette's was just a few miles down, I was like,
Yeah.
you know what? Let me just run in here and get a Gatorade real quick.
Exactly. I mean, because you don't know what's going to be after you pass by Jeanette's. Well, enjoy the next 26 miles, because that's how far it is until you hit Liberty Station, and that
Yes,
you hit it when
as
it's
my
open.
friend Wendy says, start counting the power poles.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. That's about the only thing to do. You just got to do this at some point at night when you're at Swami's. Just turn off your headlamp, lay down in the sand, and look up at the sky.
Yep, we did that. We did that during Blackbeard, and
Yeah.
after, like you said, it probably after about a good 10, 15 seconds of letting your eyes adjust. It was one of them ones where I was literally standing in the middle of the road. Thank goodness no cars were coming. I'm like, I've never seen stars like this. Now, granted, I've not gone far away from Maryland, but I had never seen stars like that before. So much so, me and my wife went to Ocracoke later that probably like a month later, and I took her out on the, drive out on the beach at night to show her the stars.
Yeah, it's magical, isn't it? It's just,
Yes, I agree.
but you can't do it if you're just going down as a tourist and you're just driving. You got to run it, and then you really
Gotta
appreciate
run
it even more, right?
it. You gotta have, what it's, hey, boots on
That's right.
the
That's right. So, what do you have going into Swami's? I know you got Pemberton here in a couple weeks. What else you got on your schedule?
ground. That seems to be the problem. I have the 50K, Algonquin 50K in February. I don't have anything long or anything on my schedule yet that needs to change pretty soon.
Okay.
Just because one reason is I still need to toe the line every once in a while
Right.
to get hold of this stress and anxiety. You know, I can run every day, but I need to actually toe the line at places just to let my mind know that I'm still in charge.
Exactly. Yeah. Try
So
and find a 24
I
hour.
will take any kind of recommendations you have. You know, I don't have I, that's really the only thing long I have that's an official race is the Algonquin 50K February 8th.
Okay, because I think there's still room. Have you ever heard of Tideland 24? It's down in Cedar Point, North Carolina.
Believe I have.
Okay, so I do believe there's still room in Tideland.
All right, I'll look that up later
Yeah.
today, and if there is, I'll jump in that. And
Then you'll
that's a
get a chance to,
24.
that's a 24 hour. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, it's a nice course. It's like 1.4-ish mile loop, so you're always going to come back to center. It's a nice course, and you get to meet James Huller. He'll be down there running it and volunteering at it. So yeah, look at Tideland, and a 24-hour as you're approaching Swami would be awesome. Get a
Okay.
little bit of the mental game type of preparation, but also the
Yeah.
ability to, okay, you know, duck out, you know, because you're not trying to, you know, blow everybody away and, you know, run 110 miles or anything like that. But, you know, to be able to say, okay, I'm going to take a sleep break at 16 hours and, you know, take an hour sleep break just so that you can get up then and see how you move after you've taken a sleep break.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that. And like I said, I've got just, you know, it's too far out, but like I said, Pemberton will be fun. That'll be really more like you said, really I'm going to be trying out gear and trying to say, okay, I'm going to wear this and see how it feels after 8, 10 hours, you
Yeah.
know?
That's a key thing. All right, so
Maybe.
let's start wrapping this up. You know the name of the show? It's Living an Ultra Life. What's the first thing that pops into your head when you hear Living an Ultra Life?
For me, it really means escaping a little bit to do things out of the ordinary. It gives me a chance to talk to myself because I do believe it, you're a better person. I really do believe running makes me a better person. So living an ultra life to me is just that. It gives me a kickstart into living the normal life. It gives me that
Awesome.
escape to help with normal life.
Awesome. That's a great definition. Tommy, I'm looking so forward to spending some more time with you and just getting to know you more and more. Your story is fantastic, and I'm so proud of you for what you've done and for sharing about the anxiety struggles. It's going to be so fun watching you conquer Swami Shuffled.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.